Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more.
Hey everybody out there in Podcast Land, Jim Jumping live from upstairs studio. We got traffic coming up in about 15 minutes, but now we're bringing you the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill. With me today is Lisa Murphy.
Hello, Mr.
And on sound effects, Natasha Johnson.
Frank. Aloha.
All right. Drive Time Podcast coming to you live from the new downstairs upstairs studio. What are we talking about today, Lisa Murphy?
We are talking about how to handle teachers who are mostly great but struggle with children with challenging behaviors because they feel the children are mean and are doing it on purpose. Bum, bum, bum.
Well, to be fair, maybe that child is mean
and is
totally
doing it
on purpose. I mean, so there's that.
To get a rise out of the teacher, of course, so pushing her buttons.
Totally. I mean, I think this comes back to if you have not yet noticed that you have certain isms in the classroom or certain behaviors that make you absolutely crazy, this is perhaps a good indicator that it's time to take a look at some of the things that might be bothering you. Are you overreacting to behaviors that are 100% appropriate for the children of your age group to be displaying?
Yeah.
That's the question. You can quit the rock star DJ voice because it's gonna be, you're trying to stay in character.
No, my thing about this is, okay, so that person might not be perfect, but what's my shit? I would be interested in knowing what I can do. I mean, because we've all got those things, right?
That's what I'm saying, your isms. Mm-hmm. You got to know your isms.
And so it's easy to point out the other people's, but how do we get to our own? I think that's a more interesting conversation, isn't it?
Well, I think it's a sick conversation.
Yeah.
Is it?
I don't know. So how do we get there?
Well, how you get there is having relationships in your staff where they can either call each other out on things or having coaching. I think sometimes there are, I believe, situations where you have to just call things out and not necessarily be so nice and dance around them. Like, in this kind of an example, hey, I notice through my observations of you in your classroom that you yell Jonathan's name constantly. We need to sit down and unpack that because this is compromising the relationship that I think that you should be willing to develop with this child. So let's talk about what's getting in the way of that.
First, let's give Jonathan a hearing test to make sure Jonathan can actually hear his fucking name.
Well, exactly, right? Because sometimes a cigar is a cigar. And
but yeah.
So how do you handle them? Okay, they're mostly good. Okay, so I'm implying from this. This is also, listeners, this is a Facebook suggestion of a pod topic. So this is telling me that they're bringing somewhat of a decent game to the table, but they're still getting tripped up over behaviors that they're potentially trying to control, behaviors potentially that they don't like. And now we're back to Dan Hodgins, which is stop making moral issues out of developmental ones.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these verbs are 100% developmentally appropriate. Hitting, picking your nose, biting. They're doing that on purpose. Well, one, how do you know that? How are you making that assessment? Because they might be doing it on purpose. Because they like the reaction that you're getting.
Oh, exactly.
Out of it.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to pick your nose accidentally.
Huh?
It's hard to pick your nose or bite accidentally. I mean, it's.
Oh, I do though. There was one presenter I heard one time that said sometimes a bite is a hug gone wrong, And I believe that. That
oh, yeah, but that doesn't mean
an
it was,
accident.
That doesn't mean it wasn't intentional. I mean,
true.
I'm intentionally biting you because I mean...
I mean, does this ultimately come back to creating an environment that is respectful enough to where people can have very, very candid conversations about what they do and don't bring to the table and are willing to receive feedback from people who are objectively and professionally sharing with them what they've noticed?
And sometimes it's not so objective. Sometimes we're bringing our own, I mean, there's layers here, right? Sometimes we bring our own shit to what we're seeing in other people and see it through a lens that may not be as clear as we like to think it is. I mean, that's the whole confirmation bias thing. And so if I've got a hot button issue about tone of voice or those kind of things, and then I start seeing that and everybody else, that's 50% my issue as well. So part of it is internalizing it and seeing those things.
And responding if somebody calls you out on that.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'm wondering, is this maybe a good time to also look at alternate ways that we can use observation? Because that person who is always yelling at the child or always... short-tempered with them or anything. It may not be an always. And so if we do some observation and can see, well, this is happening. She is like this. She is yelling at the end of the day or
like the patterns.
Or those kind of things. Look for those patterns.
She's hungry.
Well, yeah, I mean...
The kid could be hungry. The provider could be hungry.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say that,
I mean, we look, when we talk about observation all the time, we talk about observing the kids. But I think we should, there's value in turning that lens on ourselves and peers as well in the classrooms, because it does help us pick up those patterns. And just to stick with like the yelling, that could totally be a Maslow thing where there's a lower level thing on that pyramid. I mean, tired or hungry, whatever it is, that's not being met. And it at particular times results in that kind of reaction in the classroom. And so I think there's a place to kind of do that personal research that we've talked about in the past. And maybe part of talking to that person about it is saying, hey, I've noticed this thing, but maybe there's a reason for it. Can we look at it? Those kind of things. I'm not so sure, again, ethically and morally, if you want to pull back and start taking secret notes of your coworkers with them not knowing about it, but then on the other hand, you're going to get a more realistic view of things if they don't. So you know what? Yeah.
I think real-time role-playing, I think this is an example of when that is actually effective, either in a workshop or in a staff meeting, or you're standing next to a colleague and you see a behavior kind of start that you know might be something that sets that person off, and you just step in and respond the way you would respond. Oh, you're needing to do some hitting. And people aren't for hitting, so let's go find something that you can hit. I mean, it could be something really just seeing it differently, not seeing it with that moral lens. They're not out to get you at the end of the day.
Probably.
They're not. It's not that bad behavior. I mean, you know, Heather's talked about it. Tamar Jacobson talks about it. It's, you know, they're not engaging in this to on purpose make you crazy, but they are engaging in that behavior for a reason. You just might not know the reason. And so if you don't know the reason, you're going to start making up reasons. And my advice is always, you know, like, is it possible to push through trying to play detective and just deal with it as opposed to figuring out all the who, what, when, where, why?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you deal with it? I mean, I don't know how well do you know the person that you feel is having this kind of reaction?
Yeah. I mean, that's what makes all this so challenge it so much of this stuff. If there was one easy right answer, I guess we wouldn't be on episode 500 and whatever of the show. But I mean, it's complicated. So it's about I guess you just have a human conversation.
Well, and we're back to relationships, yeah, then too, and being aware of what we bring to the table.
So What's the example? What's the example there again?
Oh, hold on. I was scrolling.
I think it's time for some role playing.
This is not good pod. Mm.
Dun, 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 dun. Listeners.
Here we go.
I'm drinking. Eggnog cut with a little bit of milk because it's a little bit too sweet, trying to cut down the sugar. Haven't got around to putting any rum in it yet today, but you could go far wrong than listening to Coco Taylor and drinking some eggnog in a November or December podcast listening.
And this episode is brought to you by the Dairy Farm in the street.
By the Eggnog Association.
So she said, how to handle teachers who are mostly great but struggle with children with challenging behaviors. Like, see, I would pause right there. To whom are these behaviors challenging?
And to whom are they mostly great?
Exactly. Because they feel that the children are being mean and doing it on purpose. So, I mean, again, and we're not in conversation right now with the person who posted this, but if you're saying that needs to stop because they're being mean, me being 100% objective, it's hard to not be like, okay, so who is mean to you? You know?
Yeah.
What is this bringing up in you that you're having this huge reaction to it?
Okay.
You know, and we're not therapists, but...
I'll be the mostly good but mad at somebody for being mean person, and you be Lisa Murphy or a ninja.
How about both?
Okay.
So you're going to be the teacher interacting with the kid.
Yeah.
And you're going to... Okay, go.
Yeah. Tasha, you can jump in and be whoever you want to be.
Oh, okay.
Ninja, flying unicorn, whatever. Hey, you kid over there, quit being mean.
Okay, somebody probably needs to be the kid. Because in real time in front of the kid, I don't think I would really go up to the person and do it.
Okay,
but
okay,
let me
start
over
again. And here it comes. Okay. Hey, you kid over there, stop being mean. I'm going to the break room on my break. Walk, 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 walk to the break room.
Okay.
I'm going to go in the fridge and see if anybody left anything in here unlabeled that I can totally steal and pretend I didn't take. Crack dip. This is like Lisa Murphy makes. This is delicious.
Holy crap, there's Lisa Murphy walking in the door right now.
Hey, Lisa Murphy, did you make this crack dip?
I did, and I also saw how you would never do this. I would if I was there to do that, but I mean, out of the blue, I wouldn't just do that, but yeah.
Okay,
you're
Carol, my coworker. Hey, Carol, how you doing? Would you like some of this crack dip? I think Lisa Murphy made it. I don't know how it got here.
this isn't working for me right this second.
Carol, what's wrong?
I'm getting licked to death by a dog. I'm going to start breaking out in the box.
And scene.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's not really how I would go about it. I mean, I like to think I'd sit down with her later. I don't know. It depends. So many things it depends on. Do I know you? How long have we worked together? Is this something we've been working on before? Is it something that's been pissing me off and I haven't said something yet? So I'm going to have a hugely overly dramatic
reaction. Okay, we've worked
together.
We're going to do this. We fucking get it right. We've been working together for 7 years.
Oh, wow.
In the same room, you've been around for, we're going to say 5 years longer than I have. I'm kind of the newbie. You are kind of at your wit's end with me because of this, because I'm always thinking people are being mean. And we are at your place for taco night. Oh, hey, Carol, thanks for having me over for taco night. How's it going?
Oh, good. I'm so glad that you finally accepted an invitation to come to tacos with
us. Oh, yeah. Last time I came over, you got all mad at me for yelling at the kids. And
I just think that sometimes some casual conversations allow us to, you know, reflect on our practice and, you know, we're not worried about, you know, the kids listening or, you know, in a work environment. So, yeah, I'm glad you came over.
Are those margaritas?
There are. How about I make you one?
Oh, yeah.
Did you like that?
Yeah, I like them rocks, not blended. That's really good.
Oh, okay, good.
That was the thing making the noise was the ice crusher.
Oh, okay, I was wondering because that sounded like a blender.
So what's up? What did you want to talk about?
Well, no, I'm glad you came over. I would love to have a candid conversation with you about what you see as mean behavior. And I realize I'm kind of hitting you as you walk in the door, but I hear you saying that phrase so much, and I think I'm ready for you to be a little more specific with me as to what you mean by that. Shall I top that off for you while you're thinking?
Yeah, can I get a refill on this?
And I'll let me get think a refill about while that. You're I think thinking.
I think the thing is, when I was in school, there was this kid, his name was Jacobson, and he was kind of really mean to me, and, you know, just kind of pulling hair and poking at and teasing, and
you didn't like that?
I did. Well, you know, I was a kid, and he was poking at me and teasing me, and so, of course, I didn't fucking like it, but I guess I kind of see him, Jacob Jacobson, in some of the kids we have in our program, and maybe I do kind of fall into this routine of responding kind of maybe almost with the same emotions I did when I was young.
Well, I think you're responding the way you, exactly like what you just said, as a 6-year-old, as a 7-year-old, or however old you were at that time.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good marker.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm a little bit concerned that with you jumping in all the time and just shutting stuff down, calling it mean, that we're depriving the children of the opportunity to negotiate and talk to each other.
Yeah, and you know, after I do it, I actually do this kind of pause where I kind of get upset at myself after doing it, because it's almost like a reflexive thing that I do. And so I guess now that we're talking about it, and because I've been thinking about it, now that we're talking about it, I was wondering if there's some way I could train myself to maybe not have that be my first reaction. I don't know if I need an electrical shock. Well, you know, I work in early learning. I'm not sure I've got the budget for therapy. I was thinking maybe we got an old a shock collar from a dog we used to have. I was wondering if I would wear that around the classroom.
And I get to shock you?
If you could just give me not a big shock, just a kind of small shock every time. I tried the rubber band thing around my wrist for a while, but that didn't work. And we got written up because I had that rubber band and somebody could have choked on it. And so we got in trouble for that. So
how about moving forward for this maybe next week?
I kind of like
week
the feeling of
up.
Shock, too.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. How about this week coming up that we, like, we both kind of know the kids that engage in this behavior that sets you off a little bit, or that you're, you know, have this reaction to. So how about we approach behaviors or scenarios this week and kind of let me take the lead and let's see if maybe how a different lens handles it. See if that maybe gives you some more tools for your own teacher tool belt.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
So will you remember actually any of this, do you think, after the next margarita?
Oh, I'll make some notes now before I have that, if you want to pour it. And so you're saying no shock collar?
No shock collar. No rubber bands on the wrist.
Okay. Fill her up.
And
see.
You crack me like an egg.
So, I mean, probably if you do that in real life, maybe more margaritas, less shock collar talk. I don't know.
Sure. Fewer
margarita. I don't know what the right balance is.
Well, I think being honest with how you're responding to certain behaviors.
Yeah.
And being okay with admitting that maybe it is bringing something up in you, and that you don't always have to have the answer or the solution, or you might not even remember why it's triggering something in you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, and I think just increasing your own knowledge and belief. I think you have to believe that at the end of the day, they're not out to really make you crazy. It's information.
Yeah, yeah. And if depends on which end of this you're on, that the person talking to you or that you're talking to when an issue like this comes up, you give people the benefit of the doubt that they're acting with good intentions from the get-go, because we're living in a damn world where everybody gets pissed off about every damn thing. And so those have probably never been easy conversations to have, and now where everybody is yelling at everybody on the internet, I think it makes it even more difficult to have those conversations in the climate we have now.
Well, yeah, because I think you start like second guessing trust, really. Yeah. You know, am I able to be vulnerable? Am I able to say what needs to be said? How is this person going to respond to me? Is it going to impact or jeopardize our work relationship? Or, you know, there's all that stuff, I would imagine, goes through your head. My head is turned because I'm looking at the notes that I took the other day from the speaker, and she was mentioning, it was the trauma-informed care, sorry, I'm looking for it, but she was saying that children often, children might have poor social skills because trauma will disrupt the attachment, and the child who never listens might also be seen as the, like, you know, they're disrespecting me or something. She was saying that trauma results in attention to threat, meaning that the only thing that the certain kids tag to pay attention to are potential danger situations. So they're not even tuning into, like, your basic requests to, and this isn't necessarily like the mean kids that she's talking, but hey, I need you to clean up, I need you to get your jacket. And she was saying that those requests, the kids aren't primed to really be paying attention to that. They're on high alert all the time, waiting literally for the shoe to drop. And so being mindful of just how we're interpreting situations can just, I watched some of the women in this workshop listen to this speaker, and you could see them in their heads going, like, you've just rocked my world. Like, one little shift. They're not looking to be a little shit. But this is not where, unfortunately, and not every kid is traumatized to that degree that where you have to, like, read into every situation. Mm-hmm. However, what we know from some of the research is that kids are showing up in preschool classrooms with higher levels of toxic stress and a lot of in negative experiences. And so we're not privy to what they're bringing in, their literal baggage. And so we're reacting as though there's a typically developing 3- and 4-year-old, and yet we don't really have the full picture.
Good job, adults. Good job.
Yeah. Why'd you say that?
Well, because good job the way we're fucking kids up. I mean, good for us. I mean, yay. What the hell are we doing? But that's a whole nother episode, probably.
Oh, I'm sure that it is. It was a really good workshop.
Yeah, sounds like it. So this, I mean, to wrap this one up, it's all, like we always say, it's all about the relationships.
And your belief system and your level of self-awareness. If you don't know what your triggers are, you're going to be overreacting to everything. You know, those kids aren't looking to take your job away from you. They're not looking to make your life miserable. Get down on their level and listen. We react constantly.
Yeah, and I guess when you're having to deal with a coworker that has some of these issues, I get the best you do is you try to deal with them like you would thoughtfully, mindfully deal with a child. I'm not infantilizing the adults children. I'm just saying.
But the technique might still.
The technique is the openness and the willingness to listen and the approaching them non-threateningly and all that kind of stuff. Those techniques are probably pretty similar when you're dealing with
that. But I would be hard-pressed to say that there's like a 4-step process on how to deal to her specific example of how to deal with the employee that's doing this. I mean, you clearly somebody's going to have to call it out, and then two, we're going to have to see how strong the relationship is to see what that intervention might look like. It's going to be potentially different with teacher A, teacher B, teacher C.
Yeah, and I mean, part of it is knowing the program's policies to know who is supposed to deal with it, because it might not be your job.
True.
And so, I mean, there's a lot of pieces there. So I guess open-mindedness and an open heart.
The same,
and strong relationships.
Same 6 things we seem to bring a lot of things back to.
Any more on this one? Or should we bring it home?
Bring it on home.
This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Up next is Stinky and the Finger coming up playing the hits from the 90s on podcast radio stuff.
Oh my
God. Talk to your bar girl. Back soon with another one. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. Good.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.